I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello everyone, welcome back to the SC Report podcast again this Wednesday night. Only 4 weeks of the season to go and the head-to-head finals start this week, so it's a very exciting time in the Supercoach world. Myself, Nick here, and another rotating special guest this week from the Daily Telegraph, mini celebrity in the Supercoach world, Trent Copeland. Mate, how are you?
I don't know about mini celebrity, but I'll take it.
Major celebrity.
Oh no, I was going the other way. Hack, I would call it. But no, I'm going very well, mate, and I've timed my run beautifully to come back on the podcast after an average start of the year, some would say. I've been copying it from all angles, but coming home with a wet sail. So yeah, lots to talk about.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what I was going to say. You're by no means a Supercoach hack. Over the last month or so, mate, you would be close to the number one ranked Supercoach over the last month, I reckon. You're in the top 1,000 now. Where were you about 4 weeks ago?
I mean, it was a long way back. I was outside 40,000 there halfway through the year. I mean, I write a captaincy article every week for the Daily Telly, and no doubt, all, you know, 80% of them are great options, but I happened to pick the wrong one every week for the first 7 or 8 weeks, and it was a long way back. But yeah, it's come down rapidly the last couple of weeks, and I've made some money trades. So trading Kurt Mann out for Latrell 3 weeks ago, and we all know how that's worked out, and Nathan Cleary in 2 weeks ago, and then Tyrone Peachy in last week. So long may it continue.
Beautiful, mate. That is excellent. A 13.49 for you on the weekend and up to 9.43rd overall. 11.90 for myself, and I've dropped outside the top 1,000 for the first time in about 6 weeks. I'm 1,010th. I'm 3 points outside of a key ring at the moment.
With some big plans this week, though?
Potentially. I've only got two trades left, but I'm definitely going to do one of them this week. Like we said at the top, head-to-head finals this week, and I thought it was just interesting in our league. While you are the second highest point scorer overall, you actually finished 15th on our head-to-head ladder.
Yeah, I missed. I play in probably 4 or 5 of the more important leagues, and of which one of them is yours. And yeah, I mean, I'm in one head-to-head finals at this stage. I've only got one trade left because I've been swinging for the fences to try and catch up halfway through, but that was also to try and make head-to-head finals, and I finished between 9th and, yeah, as you say, 15th, 16th in a lot of leagues, and it just goes to show head-to-head players have a big leg up during the year in being able to pick the right captain every week, and you know, as it turns out, Damien Cook has been the man, but it can be such a small decision each week that can make such a big difference.
Yeah, exactly. You've been very unlucky in our particular league. I mean, over the league rounds, I've scored the most points in 20,245. You've only scored 3 less points than me, but you've had about 900 more points scored against you by your opponents than I have. So I've obviously had an easy draw, and you've obviously had a far more difficult draw.
Enough of the sob stories, though. I don't want to come across as a whinger.
Nah, very good. Okay, usual podcast tonight, injuries, teams, captains, trade talk, start, sit, et cetera, we'll get right into it with the teams. Mate, not too many changes this week, so I might just rattle them off quickly, and then we'll get your thoughts at the end. Thursday night game for the Broncos, Boyd's back to fullback, Asako's onto the wing. Pangai being confirmed today, from the Courier Mail that he's going to start from the bench, which is good news for the Bronx there. Ponga has been named at fullback for the Knights. Richie Kenner is back for the Rabbitohs with Duae, unfortunately doing his ACL. Campbell Gillard is back for the Panthers this week. Clem is back for the Bulldogs. The Eels have got a bit of a reshuffle with Haynes shifting to the wing and a few other bits and pieces moving around there. Paul Vaughan's obviously out for the Dragons for 4 weeks, it looks like, and Corey Thompson for the Tigers. His season is over with MWZ back into the side there and Fanua sniffing around on an extended bench for the Tigers. But Supercoach-wise, aside from Paul Vaughan, who a few people have got, not really too much doing this week, was there?
No, there's not. But what I will say is, if you're not in head-to-head finals or you're not having a crack for overall and maybe your season is over in Supercoach terms, this is the time where someone like Jalen Salmon and, you know, numerous others will pop out and make their debuts, make an impact on the end of a season. But by the time we start picking teams again next season, everyone's forgotten about it. So this is the time when real nuffies like myself and no doubt a lot of you guys on the Supercoach Talk podcast site and, you know, everyone is watching now to find the little nuggets that we can unearth for next season. So have a look at the Young Eels half this week. Have a look at anyone else who manages to make a debut over the coming weeks, because whilst there's not much going on in terms of teams and everyone's got, you know, 20 to 23 guns that they're picking from each week, there is a lot there that we can take in terms of next season.
Yeah, definitely. The Knights have got Sualo, who I've never heard of before, but he's debuting on the bench as well. So, like you say, another one to watch there, prepping for 2019 already, mate. It's never too early, is it?
It's never too early. One that I do like seeing their name pop back up is Mahe Fanua. Mahe the Mule, as I've been calling him this year. I've been really impressed with him, and I think if he was back to early season form, I think he pops straight back into contention as someone that, you know, if you're flush with trades in a head-to-head finals and you watch him this week, if he was to play, he could be that point of difference that could win someone a league this year.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely, I think that's a very smart move. You know, maybe give it a week to see him back in action and then jump on, because before he got injured, he was absolutely beasting it for the Tigers, that is for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's keep the momentum going. We're going to go straight into captains and vice-captains this week before we do trade talk, because a bit of an interesting week this week. Who did you go last week?
So I decided with Cook playing against Melbourne, I actually didn't think he'd be able to be at his gun like best. But I captained Reece Martin on Thursday night, and I was stoked with
it. Yep.
And he got 87 in the end. I feel like he was a bit stiff not to get that offload try assist for the BMOS try late in the game. But I was really happy after Thursday, and, you know, watching Cook go off. I was actually at a Bucks weekend, so I was really enjoying it. It was great to see, and I think he's solidified that it's matchup proof. He's the real deal. He's arguably the best player in the NRL at the moment. Should be the first picked in the any Australian side in the future. And I think, you know, for our sides, we've got to consider him a captaincy option pretty much every week, barring, you know, your VC going berserk. But for the sake of a bit of differential and talking about stuff that I'm looking at writing for the article this week, I really like Kalyn Ponga and Sean Johnson in the first Friday night game, both of which are, you know, superstars. We don't need to talk about their capabilities, but both match up very well in terms of opposition conceding points to their position. And then the next game that I really want to focus on is the Panthers v the Titans game, where I'm lucky enough to have Nathan Cleary, Billy Kickout, and Tyrone Peachy, who are all really good options for the VC in that first game. Because at this stage of the year, I would imagine that everyone's got at least one nuff, and ideally they're from the Dragons or the Sharks who play late in the round.
Yeah, I think you're bang on there. I'm probably going to give SJ a go this week, I think. Yeah. He's been down for a few weeks, but I'm hoping that he can turn it around this week against the Knights. Warriors should hopefully get some confidence out of that tough win against the Dragons last week. So I'm going to go SJ. I think any of those Panthers guys are good options. Obviously, Cook is probably going to be the most popular selection just after what he's done the last few weeks. And up against the Roosters, you know, similar to what we said against the Storm last week, he's got a tough matchup. But he proved that he's an absolute beast. But to be a bit different and try and get back into the top 1,000, I like that Warriors Knights game, and I definitely like the Panthers against the Titans as well.
Yep, I love it. What's your, just in terms of VCs at this time of year, what's your consideration point for whether you pull the trigger or not? Because we know how much updates have affected things this year, be it first, second or third updates, and when they happen, it can make a big difference. So what's a number that you would pull the trigger if you've got Sean Johnson sitting there after his game on Friday night?
Yeah, but it'd have to be big. I think, you know, I've got Katoa, Niokore, and Tamari Martin on my bench, and they all scored 28, 36, and 26 last week. So it probably has to be, for me, it's probably 110, I think.
Yeah. The reason I bring that up is I was looking at that last week before the Reece Martin straight captain decision on Thursday night, and I actually thought to myself, who would I leave out of my team for any of these nuffs? And at the moment, I'm leaving guys like, there has been Kickout, Arrow. I've still got JT, who's coming good, which is outstanding news. BJ Leilua has scored 200s in the last 3 weeks that I haven't been able to grasp. So these are the sort of guys who are outside the team already. And then you're leaving out, you know, guys like, who do you leave out if those are the guys that are outside the squad already? So it would have to be a centre, and then I don't want to be leaving out Latrell or Masters, Tyrone Peachy and the like. So it gets very difficult if you haven't planned it in advance on when you need to make that decision and what your actual cutoff is, and you don't want to be scrambling and doing it 5 minutes before the next game kicks off.
No, exactly. Exactly. It's a... Yeah, it's a very precise process, and I haven't used the the VC loop at any time this year aside from the bye rounds. If I was doing it this week, I'd probably leave Alex Johnston out, I think, and chuck old John Olive in there, and chuck the captaincy on him, because it's Johnston with the tough matchup against the Roosters. I would probably do that. So that's probably a good point, actually. I mean, at the moment, I've got the VC on Taumalolo, and I was just going to go straight captain on Johnson on Friday night, but I might actually go VC Johnson. At least I'll get to see that game. Cook's playing immediately after him, but, you know, if Johnson's anything under, or if he's anything over sort of 100 pre-updates, I might do that Johnston out and Olive in and lock that in.
Yeah, I think, and that's when it becomes, you know, definitely worthy, because there's always the potential of an injury. You know, anything can happen with a HIA, as we've seen so often this year. So I think that's probably the safe mark, 100 to 110, and then ideally updates are friendly to you after that. But just talking about captains on top of that, there's some really great options this week. I mean, Cook is the obvious choice. God 2.0. as I've been dubbing him everywhere and every opportunity I can possibly get. Reece Martin, I think, against the Seagulls, they've been leaking points, albeit playing better, but still conceding lots of points. So I think that's a good matchup. But the other one is Tommy Turbo in that same game. I think he has flown under the radar the last 3 weeks and started to really find form. And he just seems to, you know, all these outside backs, when they don't score tries, they sort of get between 25 and 40. When he doesn't score a try, he gets between 50 and 60. And when he gets one, he goes monstrous. So playing home, 5:30 on the Saturday against the Bulldogs, I really like that matchup.
Yeah, definitely. Bulldogs have been in a bit better form, though, the last couple of weeks. You know, a little bit better. Lachlan Lewis is playing quite well. but, yeah, I don't mind that Turbo selection at all. I really don't mind Martin either.
Yeah, definitely. I think he is, you know, when we used to have, you know, Corey Parker and Paul Gallen playing 80 minutes and churning out points for fun, I think Reece Martin, he got 87 last week. He's I think 79 the week before, and really, I mean, bar the last minute ridiculous forward pass where Hopper put him through for a line break, which he didn't end up getting, he hasn't really looked like getting too many attacking stats the last few weeks, but he's still churning out close to 80 on his flute. So I think he's certainly, alongside Cook, two of the safest options you can possibly go for.
Yeah, the one time I captained him was 3 weeks ago on that Thursday night when he ran about 20 decoys and scored 50 points.
Yeah, well.
That was the worst. But
the worst part is that it's the sole reason why then you don't look at him for the captaincy next couple of weeks when everyone else gets on.
Yeah. Oh, well. Let's do start-sit next. So, like you were saying earlier, with when you were referring back to the VC loop, the difficult decision at the moment is who to start and who to leave out of our teams. So at the moment, trade-wise, I'm thinking of either doing Milford to Peachy or Aitken. No, sorry, mate. Sorry, Milford to Cleary or Aitken to Peachy. And I'm probably leaning more towards the Cleary trade because I've held Aitken this long solely because of the good draw coming up. So I feel like I might be jumping off a week early there. So let's say that I bring Cleary in. I would be planning on starting Cleary ahead of Fifita, ahead of Jake Turbo. Potentially, I'm thinking of starting Cleary over Cam Smith as well. I'm probably starting Kikau ahead of Cam Smith and Fifita this week also. Obviously, I'm starting Burgess, Rees-Martin, Crichton, Cook. I'm going to start Tapau again as well. He's been quite good in recent weeks. But a few of these guys, I suppose, Smith, Fifita, Turbo, and anyone else who you think is in that sort of lower range of guns, how are you ranking them, or how are you looking at your side this week?
Yeah, so I've sort of tried to compartmentalise it a little bit in the sense that Cameron Smith has had an average couple of weeks. It's coincided with a little bit of an injury. He's in that upper echelon, though, of when he plays well, doesn't matter who his opposition is, and the Storm are one of the form teams in the competition. So I find it very hard to leave him out, but at this stage, he's on that borderline because of the injury. The rest of them, I really like to look at three-game averages. It's really great, the access that you have straight away when you click on a profile to see the three-game average and then scroll down just quickly and have a look at minutes. And if the tackle busts are there, particularly for the big guys, that's a really good indicator. So someone that I'm referring to there is Jai Arrow. So the three-round average hasn't been good. It's been 51, but that really has been because of the PCL. When you look down at his games of recent times, 46 minutes 3 weeks ago, 41 the week before that. But this week, 73 minutes, 72 points. And if you're looking across the board, no tackle busts, but he had the 39 tackles. He had his regular super high base stats. And that, to me, tells me that, yeah, he could get another knock, but he's got to be right back in contention as one of the best second rowers in the game. So that's a tough decision to whether to pick him or, you know, it's probably going to be between him, Turbo, and Kikau for one spot. And then I think you're spot on with the Cleary call. Cleary v. Peachy, upside is probably arguably the same, but the guy with the goal kicking always gives me that just little extra confidence as a tiebreaker. And I think he is the number one clear best half in Supercoach when he's got the goal-kicking duties, and the Panthers are piling on the points. So, albeit away against the Titans, I think he is definitely the choice, and I'd be playing him over the likes of Gareth Widdop and Thurston and numerous other options in the halves. The one I want to talk about is the centres. There's really good access to data there with NRL Supercoach stats. They're fantastic. And they can give you a little bit of an indication on career records against teams, but also the points that are being conceded to that position, particularly in recent weeks. So do you use that, and how do you split them in terms of it might be a good matchup, but a certain player is not playing as well, or do you literally just look at, okay, if it's BJ Leilua versus Alex Johnston, BJ scored 200s in the last 3 weeks, AJ's been nowhere, and he's also playing against the Roosters. So how do you split those sort of things?
Yeah, it's a good question, isn't it? I like to go on the matchups because I think players are always going to revert back to their mean or back to their average. So BJ's averaging probably like 80 to 85 in the last 3 weeks. But to me, I'm always weary of the the down round that has to come, because he's not going to average 85 for an extended period of time. So I do like to play the matchups in centre wing. The good and the bad thing about my side is that I only have 4 semi-decent centre wings. My other 3 are all junk, so yeah. I don't have a decision to worry about in that position each week. I just roll with my 4 and see what happens. But if I was fortunate enough to have 5 or 6, centre wing in particular, I'm big on the matchups. So Alex Johnston I would have behind BJ and Rapana this week. I'd probably play Aitken ahead of Johnston as well. I'd probably Hopper versus Johnston. That's an interesting one. I'd probably go Johnston ahead of Hopper. I think a few people have got Hopper, but I'd probably have Johnston ahead of Hopper. Peachy, I'd have, assuming that he holds that fullback spot, I'd have him up there. Obviously, Latrell, Fergo, Masters, etc., Val Holmes, their plays every week. But when it gets down to that Johnston, Hopper, Aitken type level, I do like to favour the matchups a bit more.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Did you know that Xavi Hernandez used to scan over 8 times in the 10 seconds before receiving the ball? It's therefore not surprising that he rarely lost it. Scientific studies have shown just how important scanning is in soccer. Players who scan more, for example, make twice as many successful forward passes than those who scan less. But training this skill is difficult, and that's why thousands of players trust Be Your Best, the soccer training app in virtual reality, designed to improve players' game intelligence. To learn more, visit beyourbest.com and use code POD20 to get 20% off your first subscription.
Yeah, and that's fair enough. So here's my centre wing conundrum. I have Latrell, Masters, Peachy, Hopewadi, BJ Leilua, Alex Johnston, and enough there. So, well, Smith from the Dogs, who's still playing, but I don't consider him any week. But so I've got 6 legitimate options there based on the matchups, and I think Mitchell, Masters, Peachy pick themselves, and Hopewadi, owned by less than 5% of teams, he's really been a difference maker for me for the last sort of 4 or 5 weeks. So playing against the Seagulls, who have been conceding a truckload, albeit playing a little bit better and winning, I think I lean him over Alex Johnston this week against the Roosters. It could be the wrong call, but I think the Johnston downturn in form has probably coincided with Greg Inglis going out of the side, and that left side hasn't looked anywhere near as dominant where he'd been, the key cog in, well, along with Cody Walker. But he'd been the key cog in scoring all those tries. So no Jennings on the wing also. So that for me probably slides him down a rung behind Hopewadi. And then BJ against the Tigers is obviously a good matchup as well. So, yeah, I'm in a bit of a conundrum there. And I think at this stage I'd lean Hopper over the other two.
Yeah, that's a good problem to have, having those 6 top line centre wings, especially. I do like Hopper playing at fullback, like you say. Manly gives up plenty of points, so yeah, I don't mind that. Probably got a bit more consistency than BJ as well, so you probably sleep a bit easier on Friday night knowing that you've got Hopper coming up instead of well, shit, I'm waiting for BJ. Who knows what's going to happen?
Mind you, it hasn't been good for my sanity having 100 there twice in 3 weeks from BJ and not being able to claim it. But these things happen. What do you think about JT? JT, the last few weeks, has really looked you know, he's on a bit of a John Farnham, you know, farewell tour, but he has really looked back to his best. And I mean, whilst the Cowboys aren't great, he scored 55, 50, 99 and 69 in his last four games. And we know when he plays against the Broncos, he's been turning it on for years, including grand finals. So is he someone in consideration if you owned him on a Thursday night?
Yeah, I'd definitely be starting him this week because exactly what you just said, I was going to say, he loves playing the Broncos. Had 110 against them earlier in the year, and if not for the goalpost, that would have been a 130. So if I had JT, I'm definitely playing him this week. Sharks next week is a tough matchup, but then Para and the Titans to finish off. So I think he's a play for three of the next 4 weeks.
How would you rate him in terms of Gareth Widdop and Sean Johnson? I think Johnson has to play Mount Smart against the Knights, but what about Widdop? He's been down on form lately.
Yeah, Widdop and the Dragons in general have been down on form, and that's an interesting one because, you know, Widdop and Aitken sort of go together as guys who I brought in about a month ago for the buys and then for the run home. I would Widdop against the Eels. I mean, JT just plays so good against the Broncos every time. It's not at Suncorp, though. I don't have the stats, but it feels to me like he plays a bit better at Suncorp. I would probably still lean Thurston and SJ ahead of Widdop.
Yeah, it really is a tough one. He's played the Broncos 18 times for an average of 64.7 and a high score of 133. So, I mean, there's a lot of years there of being an absolute gun, and there's some down form at the start of the year, but he's certainly looking back to his best. So, yeah, I'm with you there. I think I'm going to be playing him over Widdop this week, which is a bit of a gutsy call, but I'm all for it.
Yeah, I think it's a good call. I think in the halves this week I'd have it Cleary, SJ, JT, Widdop.
Yeah, and Munster, I think, even though it's against the Sharks, I think I have him in that rung as well in terms of the best guys that there are out there to buy.
Yep, definitely. Yep, he's probably five, and then maybe Milford, Cody Walker, and that come into the discussion after that. With the forwards, do you like to play matchups with the forwards, like Turbo's against the Bulldogs? He might get some more attacking stats, or are you just looking at that 3-round average and some of the base stats that you referred to earlier?
I'll try and go a mix of both. So I have Burgess, Marty Tapau and Kickout in the front row, Rhys Martin, Crichton, Taumalolo, Jake Turbo and Arrow in the second row. And I like to pick, three guys that are safe that give me base stats every week. And that, you know, Sam Burgess, Tapau, Rhys Martin are those guys. Taumalolo is very much in the same boat. Arrow very much in the same boat. And then there's upside galore in guys like Kickow, Angus Crichton and Jake Trbojevic. So I try and play the matchups a little bit more with those guys, be it Kickow or Jake Turbo. Crichton has become an every week starter for me. And I really like, whilst the Roosters have the best defense, they give up the most offloads in the NRL. So guys like Burgess and Crichton, you should play them with confidence. They might not get across the line for a try as often, but those padded stats that are so beautiful with offloads, they're more likely to come against a team like the Roosters. So second phase footy and obviously being part of a good side, there's certainly upside there. Kickout is the one for me this week against the Titans. That just looks too juicy to miss out on because he's been honestly exceptional this year. 16th overall point scorer and a 5-round average of 79.8. So he's back to playing 80 minutes full time. The offload and the ability that he has just to break the line, particularly in the last 10 minutes of each half, which is not.
Yeah.
But I think he is someone that you would probably play over some, you know, really well established guns this week in the likes of maybe Arrow and Jake Trbojevic.
Yep, I agree. Yep, Kickow's a definite must play for me this week, along with, I got burnt last week by not playing Taumalolo and not playing Arrow. So Taumalolo against the Broncos, I like that matchup, so I'm definitely going to play him. And I'm tossing up between Arrow, Trbojevic and Cam Smith for that last spot. on my bench. Two of those guys I'll have to pick. At the moment, I'm sitting with Smith and Arrow, but I do think Turbo's due a line break assist, a try assist, something like that. So I'm still looking at him potentially ahead of Arrow, just in case Arrow takes another knock or something like that.
Yeah, that sounds good to me.
All right, well, we spent a little bit longer than normal on start, sit, and captains because I think it's a bit more relevant at this time of year than trade talk because, you know, most of us are agonising over those decisions as opposed to who we're going to trade in. We'll quickly just touch on the people are selling Pangai. He has been named on the bench this week, and all reports are he will come off the bench on Thursday night, but I understand why people are selling him. Ryan James has fallen in a hole. Paul Vaughan's out for 4 weeks. Katawa's turning into a bit of an auto emergency nightmare. People are selling Smith. We've sort of covered him. Jennings, Watson, they're injured. Ryan Madison's an interesting one, isn't he? But in the 5'8 jersey, he's just not getting the job done. And if you can get a Latrell or a Fergo or someone like that in for him, that's probably a good move this week.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's great that he's in the team and he's playing regularly, and he's probably, you know, a good safe option. But at this stage, you're really missing out on huge points if you don't have those best guns, you know, at the position. It's been a hard one to gauge who it was going to be this year. And if you're low on trades, I can understand not being able to get someone like Val Holmes or Latrell or Esan Masters if you don't have them. But really, I mean, you've got to swing for the fences at this stage of the year to win, you know, a head-to-head matchup, or, you know, to solidify a win if you're in front. So no longer is Supercoach about base stats and safety. It's picking the right matchups. It's swinging for the fences at the right times, I think.
Yeah, exactly. You got to finish the year off strong. My problem is I'm always, with about 6 weeks to go, you know, hanging around the top 1,000 or sniffing around, and I always fade late. So I'm going to try and swing for the fences and get a couple of these more risky guys in over the next couple of weeks with my last two trades. Just last two things to cover off on. I want to do Dragons and then I want to do Panthers. So Dragons first, obviously been in a bit of a form slump the last few weeks. Good run home. I'm just going to pass to you and I'm going to look up their run while you're talking. But like I said earlier, I brought Aitken and Widdop for their good run, and I'm getting cold feet and thinking about selling them. What are your thoughts about the Dragons and those two guys in particular?
Yeah, well, they play, I can tell you now, they play Parramatta, the Tigers, the Bulldogs, and the Knights in the last four rounds. You couldn't really script a better run home than that. So they need to arrest this form slump, and, you know, the key players are going to be the ones that do it. Guys like Widdop, Dufty, Ben Hunt, and the like. I think missing Nene has been underrated, not just for his try scoring, but his impact off their own line coming out of defence. They've toyed around with, you know, Nightingale in the wing. Kurt Mann played well for stages. I really think they've missed a trick by trying to prepare for finals and prepare for the worst case scenario, and obviously affected a little bit by Origin. But yeah, they're in big trouble if they don't sort things out quickly, and no better chance than this week against Parramatta, albeit they're playing much better. But yeah, I think this will be the week. I would watch this week as the start of this really great run. And if they don't turn things around, I mean, I sold Tim Laffey a couple of weeks ago. He was a bit of a pot over that Origin period, but I'd be selling Aitken. I don't think he's up to it at this stage, certainly not in the top 6 or 7% of wings. And I think Widdop, you've got to hold on to. The upside is just too good. So, I mean, that's probably where I stand. None of the front rowers are of interest. Tarek Sims has probably outperformed what we thought he would, but yeah, I mean, I'd be getting rid of everyone bar probably Dufty if you still own him. He's a good one to hold on to. I like his upside, but outside of that, it's Gareth Widdop, and that's it.
Okay. All right, yeah, I'm similar. I'm probably going to hold Aitken, though. I can't get Peachy and Cleary in because bloody Cleary went up by 70 grand last week, so I could only do one of those trades. So I'm leaning Cleary and riding it out with Aitken. That probably sort of segues into my next question, is those two Panthers guys, Cleary and Peachy. Probably two of the most popular trade-ins this week. I think they are one and two, actually. Cleary in good form with the goal kicking. The Panthers have a pretty good run home. They have the Titans this week, then the Knights, and then the Warriors. But then, unfortunately, they finish off with the Storm, which could be a really tough game in that round 25 head-to-head grand finals. I've probably made my position clear. I'm going to go Cleary ahead of Peachy. A little bit uncertainty around Peachy with Cameron Seraldo coming in to coach, and maybe the concern that he goes back to the centres or something like that. So I'm going to take the safety of Cleary, and hopefully he can score me 80 or 90 points this week and going forward. What do you think about those two guys?
Yeah, honestly, I can't split them other than the fact that Nathan Cleary, I think, is the best half in the game. And when he's got the goal-kicking duties, it probably just gives him that. You know, he's got as good an upside as Peachy in terms of attacking stats, but then you add the goal-kicking, and I think it probably just gives him a nudge above. But, I mean, Peachy, two tries, a try assist, a last touch last week, 16 points in tackle busts, there's offloads. I think it has never been in doubt, his talent. It's just been about whether he gets a solid run in the team and stops becoming Mr. Fix-It. So I think at this stage, if he's in the number one jersey against the Gold Coast Titans this weekend, he could put up a cricket score, honestly. And you probably just have to bite the bullet and go one or the other this week, because if you miss them, you could be missing out on 50 to 100 points on whoever else you buy that might not have as juicy a matchup. So, I mean, that's just how I view it. I've got both, and I can sit here and be confident in it. But, nothing's a sure thing. And I think you're making the right call with Cleary over Peachy, but they both have tantalising upside.
Yeah, definitely, especially with the Knights next week and then the Warriors the week after that. They've got a good couple of weeks coming up, and I think you should try and get one, if not both, of them into your side. All right, mate, let's begin to wrap it up. How many trades do you have left, and what are you planning on doing this week?
I've got one trade left, and that is staring at me saying, use me, use me, use me. And I will be using that at some stage. I don't really know at this point what I'm going to do, but one thing I wanted to just allude to is the ability to get someone into your side that is a point of difference at this time of year. So don't look too much at the ownership percentage, but look at recent form compared to prior form. So someone like Jonathan Thurston, for example, I think his ownership is still quite high, but I don't think he's being played in that many teams. So I think he, unless they're dead teams from the start of the season that people have dropped off, I really like him as that point of difference in terms of the top teams wouldn't be thinking about playing him. And then you go to people that you might bring in and buy. I want to mention two guys, Sean Lane and Lachlan Fitzgibbon. I think two guys that you, in the realm of Viliami Kikau here when we talk about upside, but in terms of point scoring in recent weeks, Sean Lane scored two tries last week. He plays against the Bulldogs, his former club, this week. His scores in the last four rounds have been 100, 62, 74, and 109.
Oh.
So all I'm talking about here is bringing to light the fact that some people out there can still have reasonable base stats, around the 50, which might be less than Jake Trbojevic. But what Lane has is a distinct role in the side, like Lock and Fitzgibbon, where they go to them in the red zone and try and score tries using them. So that's the sort of guy that I'm looking for my last trade. I might not play him every week, but someone like Sean Lane or this week, Lachlan Fitzgibbon, I really like against New Zealand, even though it is away. That's the sort of person that I'm looking at for the last trade, but also I want to highlight in terms of being a point of difference, Fitzy at 6.4, Sean Lane, 0.6% ownership. Oh,
0.6, and what, four-round average is probably 80 plus.
Yeah. So, and he's played 80, 80, 58, 76, and 65 minutes in recent weeks. So it's not a solidified role, and that's probably why no one wants to actually own the guy. So, yeah, he could get 40. he could get 50, but the upside is most certainly there against, you know, the coming weeks. He plays the Bulldogs this week, the Titans the week after, and the Tigers and the Broncos to finish the season. So if you're talking about conceding upside, those are four of the best. So that's what I'm really looking at this week, and I'm certainly not saying it's a lock-in, but I just wanted to bring that up in terms of someone that really perked my interest this week.
Yeah, beautiful. Beautiful, mate. That's excellent insight. We won't hold you up for any longer, mate. Thank you very much for coming on tonight and giving us your insight. I've got the two trades left for me, and I've just made that Milford to Cleary trade. So, excuse me. Yep. Sorry, I'm going to lock that in, and then I'll have the one trade left for an injury if it happens over the last 4 weeks.
Yep, sounds like a plan. No, thanks very much for having me, mate. You guys at Supercoach Talk do a great job, and you got lots of stuff going on the site. Wenon giving me rubbish chat on the WhatsApp, keeping me going each week. So I really appreciate it. But all the guys at the Daily Telly, you know, our stuff works because you guys push it as well. So we really appreciate it.
Thanks for the shout outs on the live show, mate. Keep them coming as well.
No worries. We'll do.
Thanks, mate. Speak to you soon. Bye.
Cheers.
Did you know that Xavi Hernandez used to scan over 8 times in the 10 seconds before receiving the ball? It's therefore not surprising that he rarely lost it. Scientific studies have shown just how important scanning is in soccer. Players who scan more, for example, make twice as many successful forward passes than those who scan less. But training this skill is difficult, and that's why thousands of players trust Be Your Best, the soccer training app in virtual reality, designed to improve players' game intelligence. To learn more, visit beyourbest.com and use code POD20 to get 20% off your first subscription.